Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willamitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
Thank you, Scott Chapin. Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review. I'm your host, Father Scott. Minus tonight, or today, Tony Willamitis, who is at a ski resort. He is a teacher, teaching ski, how to ski. He's teaching how to ski down the mountain. He gives instruction. Okay, and they had a huge snowfall in Santa Fe, so he's not here. William, or Billy, is in Indianapolis, and he's at the SEEK conference that's associated with Focus, and so that's where he's at. So, filling in for one of those guys, if not both, would be Father Jimmy Marshall.
Hey, Scott.
Hey.
Hi, Father Scott. I mean, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we've been, now listen, here's the deal. We've been meaning to have you on for a long time. We're going to have a special cigar podcast that's just dedicated completely to cigars. So we're going to have you on, and we're going to bring Gary from the Havana House on, too.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Isn't that great?
He could do a lot better than I could. I could just tell you how much I like cigars.
Well, let's talk about that, shall we, at some point. But first, and we're going to do a little cigar review here in a little bit, but first, let's talk about Christmas, because we have not had a podcast since Christmas. Now, I got to tell you, Christmas Eve, I was deathly sick. I caught a bug. So thanks to the CFRs, Father Daniel and the Franciscans, I was covered. However, I took the masses on Christmas Day. We had great crowds. It was all very beautiful, with the exception of me being sick. So how was your Christmas?
Christmas was great. We had loaded masses. Of course, we always, like all the other parishes, that I think they have their 4 o'clock Christmas Eve mass, which is the youth mass, and mm-hmm. it's total chaos. Mm-hmm. Our church probably holds 600, maybe 700 people.
And you had 4,000.
And we had, 4,000.
Pack.
But, and of course, lots of screaming children.
Yeah.
And,
which is good. No, but that's a sign of a happy church.
When you have a lot of absolutely, screaming kids. Absolutely. I get a funny story about at the beginning of all these masses on Christmas Eve, the children's mass, we have the nativity play, which takes about 10 minutes before mass, is really the kids all dress up and they do the story of Christmas, which is really nice. And then at the beginning of the homily, I call all the children who have not made their first Holy Communion up to the sanctuary to sit at the foot of the altar, right? And I get to talk to them. Mm-hmm. Well, these are little kids who by this time are, they're ready to be any place else but in the church. And this one little boy was interested in something else. He couldn't get the attention of the little boy next to him as he was talking out loud. Didn't seem to bother him. And I looked down just in time to see this kid take his finger and thwack this other kid's nose. I just stopped and said, and he was ready to do it again. I said, "Don't you dare." And afterwards, when I talked to his parents, they said, "We knew you were talking about him. We couldn't see him, but we knew that's who you were talking about." But that's the kind of night, and of course we have at San Clemente, we have the 5:30 mass, actually the children's mass. And then 7 o'clock, I have mass at the mission in Los Lentes, San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And then I do have midnight mass, and it was very well attended. Then I get up on Christmas morning, dead tired, and have mass at 8 o'clock, and then 10 o'clock, and then I'm off for the rest of the day. So,
wow, that's cool, man.
Yeah,
yeah, it was a great Christmas. But other than being sick, I don't know. I caught a bug or something, but I woke up. It was Christmas Eve when I woke up, and was just deathly ill, and I couldn't keep anything down. I got dehydrated. It's horrible. So thanks to Father Daniel and the CFRs for, covering for me. And it all went well. It was a good Christmas. Yeah. So, Really good. Okay, so then guess what happens? It's New Mexico, right, where we haven't seen snow in for however long, and we just got blasted, the past couple of days. What did we get, about 10 inches yesterday or an 8 inches or something? Or 4,000 inches.
Pack.
No, we did. We got slammed with a lot of snow. So,
well, you think about it. We were playing golf last year this time.
Right. Well, remember last Christmas? Christmas, I think it was the day after Christmas we played golf.
That's right.
Yeah, and it was 70 degrees.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
And now the high today was, what, 17 or some ridiculous thing?
Yeah, something like that.
It got down to 1 last night.
And it's going to get down to 7 tonight.
Yeah. That's cold for us.
Very cold.
That's why I want to go to Phoenix immediately. By the way, Denver, Colorado was, what, 55 yesterday or some crazy thing? While we're getting slammed. Denver.
I don't know why we're...
Denver's 400 miles north of us, and it was 55 degrees. And we're getting slammed with snow, and it's 1 degree. That's unbelievable. Wow. Okay, so, so I'm glad you had a good Christmas time. Did you get a lot of good gifts?
Oh, absolutely.
Did you get cigars? Did you get cigars?
People gave me gift cards and things like that, and I usually go get my own cigars because I'm kind of picky about it.
Yeah, you are. You're very picky. People bring me Swisher Sweets. I'm
like,
Dutch Master Perfecto.
I found this cigar in my closet. My grandfather left it there 30 years ago.
A Dutch Master.
Gee, thanks.
Yeah, Dutch Master Perfecto. My father used to smoke those by the box loads.
What was it? George Burns had, that was his just.
No, he smoked
White Tipperellos. Okay.
Yeah, White Owl.
No,
right?
It was White Owls. He smoked the big Churchills, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Well, so we've upgraded from our folks, you know, our parents. I mean, not my mom, but my dad. All right, so let's see. So, we're going to have you back, by the way, when like I told you, right? We're going to do a special podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about cigars. Let's do a little cigar, review, from something you might have, maybe, because I know you were at Havana House this afternoon.
That's right.
And what did you smoke?
I smoked one of the the 1926 anniversary Padrones. I'm partial to Padrones.
Me too.
So, and in fact, you even wrote a song about Padrones,
mm-hmm.
an anthem to Padrones.
I did. I'm very proud of it. I can't even remember how it goes. I could play it on the piano if I practice a little bit.
So proud of it that you played it for me, I think, twice.
Is that all?
No.
On the way to Joe Pasta House and on the way back?
Yeah. The Padron, the 1926 anniversary Padron is a great cigar. And I'm partial to Maduros. Over the years, as I've developed a taste for cigars, I have gone more and more towards the Maduros, mm-hmm. because they have a lot more flavor. They're stronger. But if you get a good Maduro, it has great flavor, and it's not just any Maduro. That's why I'm picky about, because people say, "Oh, you like Maduros," and they'll bring you something that is like smoking, a tumbleweed, and you hate to look at them and say, "You know, I really don't want to put that smoke in my mouth." But
all right, so let's see. I've smoked. Well, hold on. Keep talking real quick.
Okay.
I keep losing my labels. Hold on a minute.
Oh, okay. So right now I'm smoking a Padron 7000, which is more of their everyday cigar.
But you like the Maduros. You like the Maduros.
Yeah. They're all Maduros.
No, no. I smoke the natural.
Yeah. Well, that's what I bought for you. So Merry Christmas, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Was that your gift?
That's the extent of the gift.
El cheapo. Terrible. Okay, so I got a box. You know, I got a couple of gifts. So I got a box from Monsignor. So I smoked the other night the Fuente Opus X, which is a thinner ring gauge than what I'm used to. However, it was very good. It's a darker skin, very good cigar, even burn, great burn. And it burned so well that I was able to smoke it down to my fingers.
Wow.
I love that. When it doesn't unravel. Right.
The Opus X is the great cigar. I mean, that's the one that everybody talks about. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it goes, that's one from the past. Wow. That's very generous.
Yeah, I enjoyed
it. He didn't do that for me.
Yeah, he didn't. And then he went to Mexico. So
I think I should go in his room and see if there's any left.
No, there's not. I looked already. I was in there this morning. There's nothing in there.
Oh, man. Opus X. Look it up. Look it up. It's at the top of every list.
It's a great cigar.
Yeah, it is.
So then I smoked some other things. I'll give them a review the next time we meet, you know. So I had some other things that that I've been smoking and stuff. But back to Old Reliable, the Padron 7000. This is the natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I love.
It's got a little different flavor than the Maduro. Maduro is, like I said, a little stronger, has a little more flavor to it. And I just like the Maduros better. They tend to smoke evenly. That's the thing about Padrones, right? You know, sometimes cigars will just explode.
Blow up on you.
And even these will do that occasionally, but not very often. They're well made. The people who are rolling these cigars do a good job 99% of the time. And a lot of the cheaper cigars, they aren't always made very well.
They
either
unravel.
They're packed too tight. You can't draw on them, or else they, like you say, you light them and they just explode.
They unravel.
They're no good. Yeah,
they unravel. They dip these in epoxy glue. I think.
Is that why I feel so good after I smoke them?
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh man, I don't know if you know how funny that is.
Man, all right, stop. Stop, you're gonna kill me. Oh, you're gonna kill me. Wow.
Oh man.
See, the other guys don't know what they're missing. I'm having so much fun. They don't know what they're missing because they're out in Indianapolis or up on the mountain in Santa Fe. Okay, so just got a note from Monsignor Doug Ron that they have arrived in Mexico, and he sends a picture of himself hanging out on the beach. I do not like him at this moment. Okay.
Yeah. Pack.
Pack. All right, so let's get into the gospel, shall we? This would be from the Feast of the
Holy Family.
Holy Family. Which is a great feast.
Right.
Love that feast.
The finding of the child Jesus in the temple. It's the fifth mystery in the joyful, fifth of the joyful mysteries, right?
Yep. Okay, here is the gospel. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, each year Jesus' parents went to, and by the way, this is from Luke 2:41. So each year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. There you have it, the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, your take?
Well, I also experienced a bit of the illness on this weekend, not as bad as Father Scott. So I couldn't concentrate very well, and I decided that I would use the reflection of Saint Pope Paul VI on his occasion when he visited Nazareth. Mm-hmm. in which he talks about the school in which Jesus was raised and how important it was to have the Joseph and Mary in the role of mother and father for him, and how he grew in wisdom and knowledge. I thought this is the model. Not only this is not something that is unique, but is something that is meant to, well, yet is unique, but it's something that is meant as a model for all of us, and that how desperately we really need to regain the importance of the family itself, as families everywhere begin to disintegrate from divorce and or even from people who don't even bother to get married at all. Yeah. We see the value of all this, mm-hmm. and it is really a beautiful story.
Yeah, it is shocking what's going on today. And, of course, the Holy Family gives us an example of the dignity of marriage and the family,
mm-hmm.
right? Because society is built on strong family life. And if family life is sick, then society is sick.
Right.
And something that's sick eventually dies.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, I would say we're you're headed for a crisis. You know?
St. Paul the Sixth said something that I think is very powerful. First, he gives us a reflection at the very beginning of that reading, but then he begins to go into details and he says that this is a place where Jesus and the family prayed. So there was prayer in the family. Even in the gospel, we recognize that they had a religious that they were committed to their faith, that they went to the temple when they were supposed to go to the temple. In other words, they went to church on Sunday.
Right.
Kind of put it that way.
Exactly.
Worship was important for them. God was important for them. God was in their midst, and they knew it. And Jesus encouraged that and lived it himself. So he didn't place himself above those obligations either, which tells us something about his humility. The humility of the Holy Family is really something to model ourselves after as well. There's something else that I gained that I was thinking about too that I thought was important. Young people need to have structure, and they need to know that they're wanted and needed. But one of the things about family life is that children need to have a job. They need to know that they're responsible for certain things, and that they aren't the only people in the world, that there are other people who depend on them. And I think that's one of the lessons well of the gospel today. When Jesus, when he answers Mary, his mother, and says, "Did you not know I had to be in my father's house?" But then he came down and was obedient to them. That really is a powerful message for all of us, because we live in a rebellious world.
Well, here's my take on the whole thing with this passage. And in the sermon, I kind of started out with with the presentation. We didn't hear about the presentation today or this weekend, but you think about the presentation, and Mary and Joseph took the child into the temple to be offered to the Lord according to the custom. So we see that Mary and Joseph were obedient to the Lord and his law and to the precepts of their Jewish faith. They were dedicated to the Lord and faithful to the Lord. Okay, so they did what was required of them, to take the child into the temple, right? So then we fast forward to when Jesus is 12, and this is Luke, and then we don't hear about Jesus until he's 30, when he comes forward to be baptized, right? We just know that Jesus grew in wisdom before God and men. Okay, so going to the temple, when the parents, you know, first of all, they lost the child, and you say, well, how could that happen? Well, okay, first of all, let me explain this, because see, it was the Passover, so the families descended upon Jerusalem to the temple. They would come from the villages and towns surrounding, and they did so according to the custom. You know, the law of God, they would come every year to celebrate the Passover, which was a remembrance of the Passover when the Lord rescued the people from the hand of Pharaoh. Okay. But also they offered, you know, animal sacrifices in thanksgiving to God. Okay. So they descended, but they would always travel in two groups. There was the group of men. The men traveled in one group, the women traveled in another group, and the children, they didn't matter which group they traveled with, and they would bounce back and forth between groups. So you say, well, how could the parents lose Jesus? You know, this isn't like Home Alone, you know, and Macaulay Culkin, You know, this is the Son of God, and you lose the Son of God. How can this happen? Well, you know, if you're Joseph and you're walking along and Jesus is not with you, and those communities were so tight and they took such good care of each other and each other's property and their children that they didn't worry about their kids, because if the child was not with you, the child was with an aunt or an uncle or grandparents or somebody, somebody was taking care of the child. So if Joseph is walking along in this caravan with the men and Jesus is not there, you know, he's with the mom. Or with the group of ladies, it was no big deal. And if Mary's like looking for her child, no big deal. Jesus is with the father. Okay, they didn't worry about these things. And then it was only until they got home that they realized that their son was missing. Now, the fact that they went to the temple, as I mentioned, they were faithful to the precepts of their faith. Okay, their Jewish faith. They were obedient. They were dedicated. They were faithful to the Lord. Okay, so then they get back to their home, and they realize Jesus is missing. Then they go searching for him. They look in the temple after 3 days, right? 3 days? And there they find the child, and Jesus for the first time reveals something about himself. And by the way, when Jesus said those words, "Did you not know I was to be?" Notice what he doesn't say. "Did you not know I would be in the house of God? Did you not know that I would be here in the temple?" He didn't say that. Oh, "Did you not know, Mother, that I was going to be here in the Lord's house?" He didn't say that. He said, "Did you not know I was to be in my Father's house?" And at that moment, Jesus changed forever humanity's relationship with God. Because before that, it was God was out there somewhere on a throne. He is king. He is master. He is all of those things. And we are like slaves. Okay? But now Jesus, the same Jesus who said that, "Did you not know I was to be in my Father's house?" The same Jesus would go on to teach us to call God not, mighty master, but father, daddy. So our relationship, and it changed our humanity's relationship with God forever. So now it's, you know, the relationship between dad, father, and God is almighty, and he's the Lord, and he's all those things, but he's also father, and we are his children, right? So our Lord changed that. Okay, forever. So he reveals that God is our Father. He reveals something about himself big time, that he is the Son of God. The first time I believe he's done this, right? And then the fact that he, who is the Son of God and God, was obedient to his parents. Now he's God, and he and our Lord taught by words, but he also taught by example, right? So Jesus taught us how we, all of us, are to be subject to authority like our parents. Okay? He was obedient. So, you know, Jesus didn't need to be baptized. He was baptized, however. Why? To show us what he would have us do. Jesus celebrated the Last Supper to give us an example of the importance of celebrating the Mass and celebrating the Eucharist, right? So he was obedient to his mom and dad, even though he is God, to give us an example of the importance of family fidelity. You know, and for husbands and wives to be faithful and dedicated to each other, for parents to be dedicated and faithful to their children. Remember, when a man commits adultery, he doesn't just commit adultery against his wife. It's against his wife and his children, right? So it's an offense against God, against Our Lady, against the guy's wife and his children. Okay, so there's a lesson that parents need to be faithful to their children, and children need to be faithful and dedicated and obedient to their parents, right? It's very simple. And our Lord, the Holy Family, gives us that example.
Yeah, and I was listening to Brand Petrie, who does a great blog, and he reflects on all these readings, and he said that the 3 days, the 3 days they went in search of Jesus was really a prefigurement of those 3 days in which he would be in the tomb the resurrection.
And that's a great point.
And he's right. He's preparing the Blessed Mother for all of this. By this time, St. Joseph would have been gone, but his role is essential to the life of the Holy Family. You can't, just because Joseph is in the shadows most of the time and we never hear from him, he played an essential role in the life of the family. He took care of them. He worked. He protected them. I can't imagine, and, you know, for him it was an honor to be in the presence of not only Jesus, the Son of God, but Mary, his mother. and that he had been chosen by God for that role is really just a tremendous honor. You brought something up that I think is very important for us. The whole concept of fatherhood mm-hmm. has been lost in our society mm-hmm. because fathers have become expendable.
Right.
And not only because they've been irresponsible, but because the society itself has rebelled against this whole structure that God intended from the very beginning. You know that marriage and family is God's idea, not ours.
But that's the evil of feminism.
That's right. That's right.
It is.
Well, that's the evil fruits, right, of denying the truth about things. And the truth is that the birth of Christ into the world at the time when he came was God's idea, not ours. All of these things are part of God's plan. And if they are part of God's plan, then he's also going to give us the ability to live them out. I think I was listening to Scott Hahn the other day. I love to listen to some of his old podcasts, videos that you can get on YouTube. And he gave a talk the other day that I was listening to. He must have given probably 8-9 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. He looked a lot younger, too.
Yeah, so did you. So did you.
Yeah, true enough.
But I've maintained my looks.
He talks about, yes, that's right. He talks about how the whole concept of fatherhood was one of a mutual self-love. Do you know that the Trinity is a family?
Yes.
And that the Trinity then is the model for all families. So what happens then when you change the whole dynamic of a father begetting his son in love from a father who is somebody who acts arbitrarily because he has the power to act and he can do whatever he wants to do to anyone who's underneath him? What happens to our vision or our ideal when we have the sense that power is all that matters, when in fact it's love that is the motivation for God to do all that he does? There's a lot that needs to be corrected in the minds and hearts of people.
Well, I mentioned the evils of feminism earlier, just a minute ago or a second ago. Mm-hmm. Now there is a healthy feminism, right? There's a good, healthy Catholic feminism.
Mary. Mm-hmm. Mary, the Blessed Mother.
There you go.
Ultimate.
And she's the model, right?
Right.
Okay, so the militant, you know, angry feminism, and, you know, there have been studies, and these women, let's face it, they're not happy, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because for what is the highest, a woman, her highest good is to be a mother. You
be
think
a mother.
About that.
That's right.
And that's the greatest gift God could ever bestow on a human person. God, the greatest gift God ever gave to a person, he didn't give to a man. He didn't.
Nope.
He gave it to a woman. That's the gift of being a mom.
Right.
You know, holding within her for 9 months a child created by God, and to be given that responsibility by God to raise that child. Okay. So here comes feminism to say, no, that's not the highest good. Wealth and power are the highest goods.
Right. So you create this, again, this false conflict between men and women, that women have to be... That's why you see these goofy movies with women who beat up men who are twice their size. It's like, come on, really? And it's always about it's about power. In fact, when in fact the real power that a woman possesses is the power to love and to accept the love of somebody else, and that love then becomes another person. That they have real power in the very nature that God has gifted them with. If they only knew, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of us, if we only would accept the way we are, in the sense that God has given us a human nature, and has called us to live out that plan of his will in our lives according to the nature that he's given to us, then we wouldn't be arguing all the time. But the problem is disobedience, right? And it started with Adam and Eve. It was rebelliousness.
Mm-hmm.
And
not satisfied with what God gave them.
That's right.
And that's what the way it is to know. I'm unhappy with the fact that God made me a man. I want to be a woman.
Right.
I'm not happy that God made me a woman. I want to be a man.
Yeah.
I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Okay. That, I want to have this. I want to have that. This person has this and that. I'm not happy with what I have. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If you're not happy that way with God, what God gave you, then you're always, even if you get it, you're
that's
not going
right.
to be happy.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's true. It's true.
Just be who you are.
And be happy and and rejoice in the Lord. We did an earlier podcast where we were talking about this, I think, or it was a talk or something at the Forge maybe or something, that the way to beat down the devil is and to overcome this anger that we often have, which comes from, jealousy leads to anger. An angry person is not a happy person. If I'm forever jealous about what those people have that I don't, then now I don't like them. I'm angry, and now I'm unhappy. But if I learn to praise the Lord every day for what he has given me, what he's made me to be, then I find my happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's exactly it.
But one thing is required, right? Humility.
Well, that's exactly it. So my good friend John Grimes, who's a priest in Metuchen, so he and I were having a conversation one time, and, I forget what the conversation was about, but he said, you know, it hit me one day. He kept saying to the Lord, you know, if I was just more like St. Francis, I would be a better, you know, Jack. That's his name, Jack. John Jack. We call him Jack. He said, but if I was more like, he was thinking to himself, if I was more like St. Francis, I would be a better Jack. If I was more like St. Therese, I'd be a better Jack. If I was more like, you know, St. Padre Pio, I'd be a better Jack. But then it hit him. Well, God didn't create him to be Francis or Padre Pio or Therese or whoever. God created him to be Jack. And it hit him. I'll be a better Jack when I'm a better Jack. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. That makes perfect sense. And then you don't drive yourself crazy.
Right.
You know, trying to pretend to be somebody who you're not. And that's one of the problems with modern feminism. They encourage young girls to try to be something that they're not. And quite often they want them competing against boys on boys' level. Mm-hmm. And there's no hope for success there. And they completely undermine that person's self-confidence and in themselves and create all kinds of other disordered problems in our society because
of it.
Now,
another thing that drives me crazy, we're kind of going off the rails here just a little bit. A
little bit.
But that's okay. But here's something else that just drives me crazy with today's society is the no-lose scenario. So, in the baseball team, there's no losers. There's no champions. Everybody gets a trophy. Well, then what incentive do these guys have to be better? You know, you got to get the first place trophy. You know, if you don't exceed, if you don't succeed, then, you know, you're not, you know, if you don't practice, if you don't get better, then you don't deserve that trophy. Okay. Now, if everybody gets a trophy, what's the point? What's my motivation for getting better?
Why work hard? Why try to root out the faults in your, you know, your game and whatever,
exactly.
Right?
Now, at the end of the day, after I've tried and I've tried my best and I still don't get there, that's okay. It just means that there's something else that I do better than anybody else, and I just have to discover it.
Right.
Correct?
Right. That's true.
You
know, you say we got off the rails a little bit, but I'm thinking, so how does this work in the context of the Holy Family itself, where day in and day out, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph lived their lives in Nazareth like everyday ordinary people of their time. They simply went to work. You know, Jesus and Joseph went to work. Mary probably took care of the home. They would go to temple. They would pray in the evenings. They would study the scriptures. They would go to help their neighbor. They just did the everyday ordinary things.
Exactly, but their priority was who?
Was Jesus.
Well, the child, he's God, but obedient and faithfulness and faithfulness and faithfulness and faithfulness and dedication to the Lord God.
So they weren't dissatisfied, in other words, like you were talking about. They weren't dissatisfied with the lot that God had given them.
You know, gee, Lord, you know, could you imagine, Blessed Mother, I'm giving birth to your son, and you don't have a place at the Hyatt for me to like stay tonight?
Right.
Excuse me? What? Hello?
It runs so contrary to the world that we live in today, where everybody has to have, you know, you'll notice that a lot of people will say, well, I'll have a child when we have everything that we can acquire in order to give them all that the world has to offer. And then when they have the child, if they do, the child is the one of the loneliest people in the world, because the parents are so busy working and acquiring things that they don't have time to spend with their own child.
Yeah, well, and then there's the argument, though, from that side that, you know, that, you know, the only way that parents can keep, you know, head above water economically is that if both parents work.
Well, yeah, that's a government issue. And certainly you can go into that. I mean, because there is an agenda abroad that, you know, in the modern culture that wants to undermine again the whole concept of family life and wants to make the government the source of all good for people. That's communism, I think.
No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. We all know that. So, okay. So, well, I think we have enough for today, right? So that was good.
Hey, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Did you? Okay, we're going to have you back, and we're going to do a whole podcast dedicated only to cigars.
Oh, good.
And you're going to talk about, because I know you have some experience.
Yeah.
Okay, like rolling, how to roll them, and cigars, that is. And, you know, the different, I'd like to get into a discussion with you about Cuban cigars.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah, because there's a political, there's also a political dimension to that as well.
Yeah, okay. All right, so listen, at least Tony will be back next week. I don't know, William's in Indy for however long. So, don't forget, we have that other podcast. It's called The Catholic Beef. It is also available on iTunes and on Google Play and sjvnm.org. We are building a church, friends, so if you'd like to donate, and I would love for you for donate. Just send, you can go online, sjvnm.org, go to donate, go to, in this, where it says building fund, and help us build.
Yeah, go to San Clemente.
Okay, so next week we will be tackling, because we are going to be, by then, we will have celebrated the Feast of Epiphany, the coming of the arrival of the Magi. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's it, and thanks, Jimmy Marshall, Father Marshall, for joining us for this podcast.
My pleasure.
All right, bye, everybody.